while Ardsdale Baptist Church brings you the Word of God with practicality and simplicity. As you listen to this message, we trust that it will equip and empower you to find and fulfill your purpose.
Has anybody here lived in a caravan or gone on holiday in a caravan or spent this night in a caravan, or you have a caravan as a second home? Let me see your hands in the air. Caravaners? I don't know, so few people. I mean, caravans are wonderful. Absolutely wonderful. Yeah, aren't they? Yeah, I mean, I don't know if I'd live there, but you know. But they're absolutely wonderful, you know. Let me tell you a story. There was a story that I read about a caravan, about a couple, sorry. And they owned a caravan. And they got to a particular point where they were fed up. They felt, we're tired of the life we're living. We want to change. You know, we can't go on like this. We've lived in this caravan all our lives, you know. And it's like stuff is just the same old stuff. We need a change. So you know what they did? They got in their caravan. And they ripped out some of the stuff that was in there. And they painted it fresh. And they drove to a different town. And they pitched up their caravan. They put a TV on the wall. And they said, yes, this is the life. This is the life. This is the life. They even had solar panels on the roof of the caravan. They said, we don't always have to plug into somebody's electricity. Now we're living the life. They were happy because things had changed for them. And as I told that story, I heard some of us chuckle. I like watching TV, and you see these sorts of things on TV. When you think about TV, in fact, Sumi and I watch TV, I think we typically watch one episode of something every night. And I know many of us already know this about Sumi and me. The vast majority of evenings, we will watch at least an hour of TV together. And personally, I like movies. We both like movies. I like shows. I like action movies and thrillers. You know, for a movie to hold my interest, there's got to be a car chase. You know, something's got to explode. A threat of dread, threat of doom. Within the first 10 to 15 minutes. Otherwise, you know what, it's over, I'm bored. You know, it's like, come on, man, where are the gang? You know, where are the guns and the bombs, you know? I mean, of course, if I'm watching something like Frozen or Toy Story, then I don't have that sort of expectation. You know, you don't expect mafia hitmen to show up, you know, in Moana But something else that we sometimes watch on TV are those home improvement shows. You know the ones. You know Grand Designs. You know the ones. In fact, Tomini, our son, is five. Tomini likes Grand Designs. I really don't know what that's about. I mean, how does a five... Actually, you know what? No, let me dial that back. I'm a Nigerian parent. My five-year-old son is watching Grand Designs because when he grows up, he's going to be an architect. Come on, Nigerians, you know what I'm talking about. It means he's going to be an architect. Yeah. But there's another show, another one in the home improvement genre that I'm sure some of you may know. It's called Garden Rescue. This one's got Charlie Dimmock. It's got a couple of other gardeners, the brothers in there. And the brief is they reinstall redesign a new garden, right, for someone. So the homeowner, the couple will come, they'll tell their story, they'll talk about it's a dreary space, it's a boring space, we're not maximizing the space, and the designers, the experts will pitch their ideas, the homeowner chooses one, off they go. And if you've ever watched the show, I'm sure you'll agree, some of those gardens are like, wow, that's nice. Some of them are. But some of the others are like, wow. Really? No, as in, are you kidding me? You know, you look at the finished work and you wonder, what on earth are these people think? I mean, I paid you for this? What, did you do it in the dark with one arm behind your back? I mean, what is this? You know those kind of things where they take an old welly, they fill it with concrete, and they go, wow, they put some pink paint on it. It's a wonderful garden feature. You know, they take the owner's old wheelbarrow, they fill it with compost, and they go, yeah, there's a bedding. Yeah, I mean, come on now, you guys could do better than this. Okay, maybe not quite as bad. But let me show you. Here's an example of an actual finished garden from the show. And this one just got complaints. People went online, people wrote to people. I mean, this is the actual finished garden from Garden Rescue. This was in the newspapers. How is this a finished garden? I mean, if this was finished, with all due respect, I wonder what it was like before they started. There would have been antelope and wildebeest running through. You know, sometimes you look at the work that's done and you can see that it has been altered. It has been altered. But what difference does it make? It's been altered, but to what benefit? It's been altered, but is it an improvement? And unfortunately, sadly, that's how some of us live. Not like this scrawny garden, you know. But sometimes we look at our lives. We identify an area, part of our lives, we want to be altered. We want to be changed. So we run to Jesus. We call on him. We pray. We go to church. We sing the songs. Maybe we even attend prayer meeting. We serve on one team or another. We carry a Bible. You know, we like the memes on the Christian memes on social media. We even post the Christian memes on social media. You know, we listen to and we love our Christian music. You know, we know all the words to the latest Chandler Moore songs. Maverick City Music, woo! Todd Delaney, hallelujah! When we look at our text today, we see Saul, a young man from Kish, at a fairly early point in his story. He's this guy, you know, nicknamed the Donkey Chaser because he'd been asked to go out to search for a lost donkey. As he journeys in this, you know, through life, he encounters Samuel, the prophet, who gives him a word of prophecy, telling him, don't worry about the donkey. The donkey's been found. Don't worry about that. Saul knew at this point, when he encountered Samuel, he knew that change was coming to his life. However, God did more than change for him. If we look at some of the verses in our text from 1 Samuel chapter 10, verse 1, Samuel asks Saul a very key question that I want each of you who know the Lord to think about for yourselves. Samuel says, hasn't God anointed you to rule? Hasn't God anointed you to rule? And you who are listening to me today, what has God called you to do? What has he enabled you, anointed you, prepared you to do? To rule, perhaps. To lead, perhaps. To be a godly parent. To be a person of integrity. What has God called you to? A person of truth? What has he anointed you to be or to do, to become? I challenge you to think about what happened with Saul and see what God is calling you to do and be and become. In verses 5 and 6, it says, after that, Samuel says to Saul, after that, you'll go to Gibeah of God, where there's a Philistine outpost. As you approach the town, you will meet a procession of prophets coming down from the high place with lyres, timbrels, pipes, harps being played before them. And they'll be prophesying. The Spirit of the Lord will come powerfully upon you, and you will prophesy with them, and you will be changed into a different person. When you look at this text, and when you look at the original language that was used, you know, I love the message. I love, those of you who've heard me preach, you know, from time to time, I reference the message, or the message translation, it's not really a translation, the message Bible, you know, I love the message. And these two verses, the message puts it this way. It says, as you approach the town, you'll run into a bunch of prophets coming down from the shrine, playing harps and tambourines, flutes and drums, and they'll be prophesying. Next, you'll come to Gibeah of God, where there's a Philistine garrison. Before you know it, the Spirit of God will come upon you, and you'll be prophesying right along with them, and you'll be transformed. You'll be a new person. Yep, there's that word. The Holy Spirit doesn't merely change us. He's not here for our alteration. He is here for our transformation, saints. Amen? Earlier on, I talked about the home improvement shows where they, you know, they'll renovate a space, renovate a room. In some cases, you know, they'll paint the whole house. They give it a fresh lick of paint, maybe some new curtains, a new layout. They might knock a hole in some walls, you know. Or like the example I shared about redesigning the garden. This is very often the type of show we see on TV where, you know, the person says, you know, I like my house, I like my home, I like it the way it is. And they'll bring someone to just, you know, just do this bit for me. This is all I want. Just do this bit. Have we ever done that? Oh, I'm going to get a new kitchen. It's like, wow, I've got a new kitchen. It's a kitchen. You know, I'm not saying you didn't spend your $5,000 or $2,000 or $8,000, whatever your budget was. But it's just only the kitchen. And that, you know, they bring somebody in to do that kitchen or do that bedroom. And the person's role is there to make the space nicer, make it better, make it go pop, you know, make it wow. And the professional is there to update the space to whatever that person's preferences, whatever that person's tastes may be. The homeowner is still the one controlling all of the shots. They determine what the change will be. There's a second group of people, and these people have their own space. However, for whatever reason, maybe they've outgrown it. Maybe they've just purchased a piece of land or they've purchased something. And it's in its state, it's not suitable for them. They look at it and they say, this doesn't work for me. They don't want to live the way they've previously done. They don't want to use it the way they've previously used it. And so, rather than giving it to the professional with some fixed set or fixed instructions, fixed preferences, they give the professional carte blanche. Free rein. They say to them, whatever you do, just do it. Years and years ago, when I still had lots and lots of hair, I used to go to the barber lots and lots of time. Some of the gentlemen are laughing because you understand. That was before you invested in your own clippers, Wahl, skull shaver. Come on, you know the brands. And I would sit in front of the barber, and the barber would say, what do you want? And my answer was simple. You're the professional. I'm paying you. Make me look good. I always said that. You're the professional. I'm paying you. Make me look good. And so sometimes people do that with the homes. They give the professional free rein. The attitude is, do whatever you think. Make it good. And so I want to talk very quickly, very briefly about another TV show that some of you will know. This one is called George Clark's Amazing Spaces. Have you seen this? It's on Channel 4, I think it is. And this one, it sort of takes the idea, the sorts of things that Grand Designs does, and takes it to another level. In this show, the place is not just renovated. It's not just updated. It's absolutely transformed from what it was into something completely new. Something the designer perhaps had in mind. The owner's attitude is, whatever needs to be knocked down, knock it down. Whatever needs to be done, do it. So for example, in one of the shows, there's an old mill that's turned into a house. In fact, this house even has a convertible kitchen. The kitchen turns into a bathroom. You have to see it to believe it. You think, kitchen, bathroom, what? Yeah, the walls move and all of this, you know. So it's an old mill that turns into, that's been transformed into a house. In one of the shows, an aeroplane cockpit is made into the perfect venue for glamping. In another one, a rescue boat is transformed into a house. The difference here is that these changes are not just cosmetic changes. They are fundamental, functional, existential changes that are made. That's why it's transformation. The change is such that it can no longer do what it used to do. It is no longer fit for its previous purpose. It has a new purpose, a new function. And that's the difference between alteration and transformation. With alteration, it can still be the same old and do the same old. With transformation, it's completely different. The difference here is not merely that a mill has been altered. The mill has altered direction. You know, where the cogs used to spin horizontally, they're spinning vertically. The difference with, you know, it's not that the mill was milling wheat and it's now milling corn. It's not that, it's milling something else. It hasn't been altered. It's been transformed. It's not milling anything. It's a house now. The difference, this is not a case of, the old things have passed away and some things have become new. No. all things have become new. It was a mill, it's no longer a mill. It was an airplane, it's no longer an airplane. There's a fundamental functional difference. This is now a house. It stands on land. It will never, this used to be a boat. It will never float on water. It will never participate in a sea rescue, an offshore rescue. And saints, that's what the Holy Spirit wants of us. A fundamental functional difference. A transformation, not an alteration. You know, you can do stuff to the room and it won't be the same. That is change. But it's not alteration that God wants. That's not what God wants. He wants the entire house to be transformed by the Holy Spirit. In the show Garden Rescue, the garden may have changed. The external may have changed. The bits on the outside may have changed. The parts the neighbors see may have changed. The bits the people see may have changed. But the house is still the same, untouched by the expert. And sadly, too many of us are living our lives like this. Just like the couple I told you at the beginning that did up their caravan, moved to a different location, yet still living the same life. Too many of us simply have a change of location. And saints, changing your location doesn't transform you. As they say, there's an old saying. It says, going to church doesn't make you a Christian, just like going to McDonald's doesn't make you a hamburger. In the same way, going to hospital doesn't make you a doctor. When we move location, it is indicative of change, but it must not stop there, saints. You see, most of us can talk the talk, and that's okay. We speak the Christianese, we post the memes, you know. Someone says, oh, can you pray for me? And you send them the praying, you send them the hands emoji. Is that a prayer? Is that really? Really? Pray for me, and you send the hands emoji? Wow. Wow. May, on your day of need of prayer, may that not be the prayer you receive. And of course, you know, we talk the talk. Well, well done. Maybe from where you're coming from, that's a step in the right direction. You know, and I say hallelujah to that. Many of us have even learned to walk the talk. Yeah. We walk the talk. Of course we have. Particularly those of us who've been in church long enough. You know, we know how to fake it to make it. You know, we can walk the talk. We speak the Christianese. Amen, brother. Amen. Yeah. You know, we walk that talk. But how many of us don't merely talk the talk, don't merely walk the talk? How many of us really live the talk? How many of us really, really live the talk, where absolutely every aspect of our lives reflects the Spirit of God? And I know it's not easy to do in our own strength. The prophet Isaiah puts it directly. He says, we are like one who is unclean, and all our righteous acts are like filthy rags. We all shrivel up like a leaf, and like the wind, our sins sweep us away. This is the truth. This is the reality of the life in which we live. It is a struggle. Who told you? Who told you being a disciple of Jesus Christ was easy? Mary, Mary, was it, I think, sang the song, nobody told me the road would be easy. You know the one? But I don't believe he's brought me this far to leave me. He didn't bring you this far to leave you. Don't think like that. Don't. Stop it. Don't do that. The transformation that we seek is possible. The transformation we need, the transformation that God wants for us, can be ours, of course, but not in our own strength. We must allow the Spirit of God not simply to change us, we must allow him to transform us. If need be, let him knock down all the walls. If need be, let him change us from a mill into a house, from an aeroplane into a glamping tent, if need be. And when his transformation comes, as much as there may be a need, you know, as much as there may be some of our characteristics that people will look at and say, you know, they remember the old us, there should also be characteristics that they look at and they recognize the new us. Amen? Live your life from this point onwards in such a way that anyone that has ever met you will know that there has been a transformation. And as you yield your whole life to him, it is my prayer that he will receive all the glory in all that you are and in all that you do. Amen.
We trust that you've been blessed and believe that this message has brought you greater understanding. For more information, or to follow up on what you've heard in this message, visit us on www.phbc.org.uk. God bless you.